Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are in the middle of our week together, picking up in Philippians. A couple weeks ago, we began in Philippians chapter 3. And Philippians, the whole book is incredible. It's a very short book. It's actually only 4 chapters. So I would encourage you can sit down and you can read it in one sitting. You can read it in a couple different prayer times. You can read it over and over again like me. Philippians chapter 2 is one of the most beautiful, they call it the hymn of Jesus, like the canticle of Jesus, because it's this beautiful kind of poetry about, therefore, God has highly exalted him. He has become obedient to death. It's really, really beautiful. And once you kind of get in Philippians, you just can't stop reading it. And that's what happened when I went in Philippians chapter 3, and I just went through to Philippians chapter 4, and I was like, wow, just the way that this all fits together. Because we saw at the end of Philippians chapter 3, Paul saying, you are a citizen of heaven. And again, if you listened yesterday, if you listened the day before, you're hearing it again, because friends, we actually need to hear it every day. Even though you're on your way to work, even though you're taking care of your family, even though you're doing all the practical tasks of being in the world, your citizenship as a follower of Jesus, as a baptized believer, is in heaven. Your citizenship is in heaven. And from this place, Paul makes a bold command that we talked about in the last couple of days. Rejoice in the Lord always. Always. Not sometimes, not when it's easy, not when it's fun, but rejoice in the Lord. That this is a practice. And yesterday we practiced this, and I hope you practiced it in your prayer time or at your house or wherever you were, in times when it's discouraging, in times when it's hard. Actually, in any time, just have a little time in your prayer set apart. I do this where I have time for reading, I have time for scripture study. And then have a little time in your prayer time where you're saying, now I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. I'm going to rejoice in him. And you begin to bring to mind not only what he's done, but who he is. God, you are kind. God, you are faithful. You are powerful. You are majestic. You are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. Because our foundation for rejoicing is who we are in Christ and who Christ is. Our foundation for rejoicing is who God is. His very identity, his nature, and his character. Amen? Amen. All right, well, we're going to keep going on this because Paul, he just keeps going and he brings us more challenges and more just beautiful words. But first, we're going to read Psalm 92 as we open our time of prayer together. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O God Most High, proclaiming your love and faithfulness all the day and through the night. For you make me glad by your deeds, Lord. I sing for joy at what your hands have done. How great are your works, Lord. How profound your thoughts. Senseless people do not know, fools do not understand, that though the wicked spring up like grass and all evildoers flourish, they will be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are forever exalted. For surely your enemies, Lord, surely your enemies will perish. All evildoers will be scattered. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Fine oils have been poured on me. My eyes have seen the defeat of my adversaries. My ears have heard the rout of my wicked foes. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in him." Lord Jesus, make us righteous, that we may flourish like a cedar of Lebanon, that we may find fruit even in our old age. For you are upright. You are the Lord. And it is good to praise you. It is good to worship you and magnify you. It is good to rejoice in your name alone. For you are powerful and mighty, and your throne lasts from age to age. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I know I've been saying this all week. I love this psalm. And we used to sing an old song in our house. I don't know if any of you have heard it. It's very Jewish sounding. It's an old Jewish song. And it's like, it is good to praise the Lord. And you do like a little dance and stuff like that. And you blow the shofar. So look up that old song. It is good. It's kind of like cheesy, but it's a great song. So it just is reminding me of this. But it's exactly what I was just talking about in the intro. It is good to praise the Lord. It is good to rejoice in Him, to exalt Him. And this psalm is a great way to rejoice in the Lord. You're saying, how do I rejoice in the Lord? Read this song. How great are your works, Lord. How profound are your thoughts. You, O Lord, are forever exalted. And I love the last part of this prayer. This is a theme over and over and over again in the scriptures. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. They will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will still stay fresh and green, proclaiming, "The Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no wickedness in Him." Lord, this is our prayer, that I want to flourish like a cedar. I want to be a strong tree. Plant me in the house of the Lord. Amen. So we're going to pick up, again, we've been saying, rejoice in the Lord. And then Philippians 4, verse 6. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Again, he's hitting us with these heavy hitters. He says, first, rejoice always, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And you're like, that's hard. That's hard, right? But now he says, have no anxiety about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't be worried about anything in your life. And we read that and we're like, yeah, don't have anxiety about anything. And then we're like, wait, anything? Anything means anything. And you're like, you sound like you're just saying gibberish now, right? But anything means anything. Have no anxiety about anything. And again, we read this and we're like, yes, have no anxiety about anything. Yes, Lord, I won't. But then we immediately, after we get in our prayer time, oh, something doesn't work out. Even if it's a little glitch in the carpool setup of this person can't drive someone home anymore. Worry, anxiety. Oh, I can't get to the grocery store and get the things that I wanted to get for dinner. Worry, anxiety. All the way to, I don't know what's going to happen with my family. Someone in my family is ill. Someone in my family is sick. Worry, anxiety. And there's things that we say like, yes, have no anxiety about anything except these things, these exceptions that I'm really, really, really anxious about, right? Except these things that I'm really stressed about. Except the things that are really serious, right? And we give ourselves a pass then to be anxious. And again, just like rejoicing always, this is a command from Paul. He's coming from a place of saying, look, I've had so many opportunities to be anxious. I've had nothing. I've had people desert me. I've had people hate me. I've been arrested. All of these different things. And I'm telling you, you don't have to be anxious. I love that passage from Matthew where Jesus is saying, look at the birds of the air. Are they worried about what's going to happen to them? Do not be anxious about what you will wear or what you will eat or where you will go, for the Father knows what you need. And I want to tell you today, friends, it is possible to entrust the Father with everything in your life. It is possible to give yourself to Him in a way where you're not experiencing those anxieties of life. And you might be like, well, I actually have like clinical anxiety. I actually have all of this kind of stuff. And you're downplaying that. I'm not trying to downplay that. But I think there is a way too in which the Lord wants us to be more free. And anxiety sometimes is a way that we hold onto the control of our own lives. I'm anxious because I think my life is in my control. And so there's a way that Paul's saying, he's saying, let go of control. Don't be anxious about anything. It's possible to not be anxious about anything, whether it's the big thing or the small things. And he's saying, how do we do that? But in everything. So he's saying nothing and everything. Be anxious about nothing. And in every single circumstances, do what? Do what? in prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. In prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Sorry, that was important. So have no anxiety about anything, but in every single circumstance, pray. First, go to God. Turn to the Lord. How often do we turn to other things? We turn to things to numb us out. We turn to human solutions. We turn to other people. He's saying, go to God first. When you feel yourself getting overwhelmed, when you feel yourself getting anxious, go to the Lord. First, prayer. Go to the Lord. Supplication. What is supplication? It's like an earnest asking or pleading, right? There's examples there. She knelt in supplication, begging. Supplication, a humble, earnest, and often desperate request or prayer. So we turn to God. And then with desperation, with a pleading, we say, Lord, this belongs to you. When we're dependent, desperation rises from dependence because we're totally depending on God. We're not desperate when we're depending on ourselves. We're not desperate when we're in control, right? Because we're saying, I got this, I got this. But when we depend on the Lord, when we give ourselves over to Him, when we give ourselves over to Him, there's a way in which suddenly we're able to say, I know that the only thing I can do is depend on you. So in prayer, in supplication, in desperate pleading, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. So I turn to the Lord, I plead to Him, and as I'm pleading with Him, I'm grateful. I'm thanking Him for all that He's done, for what He's already done. I'm giving thanks to the Lord, for He is good. And in that, I'm making known to Him what I need. And the reality is the Father knows exactly what we need before we even ask. But He desires that we ask Him. It makes Him happy that we ask Him, Father, I need to give you this situation. Father, I need to give you this relationship. There's some relational issues that I've kind of been struggling with, and having this process of saying, I was kind of overthinking it in the car. And then I said, no, have no anxiety about anything. And so I said, Father, I give you this situation. I give you this situation. Please take it away from me. Take away the anxiety that it's producing in my brain, producing in my heart. And I thank you for the ways that you've already worked in it. I thank you for the ways that you've already used this to form me, and begin to thank Him in thanksgiving. So going through, friends, this is a practical process that you can use. This is a practical process that you can use to say, look, Lord, I'm turning to you. I'm anxious, so I'm turning to you. I'm praying, I'm telling you my needs, and I'm giving thanks. And it's amazing we see here the connection between rejoicing and between having no anxiety. And so Paul is telling us something. He's saying, when you rejoice, seriously, this is not just like a self-help knack, but he's saying, this is how you were created. When you rejoice in the Lord, your anxiety is minimized. Because you're focusing on the Lord. You're focusing on who He is. You're focusing on what He's done for you. You're focusing on what He's given you, and not on the lack and not on the anxiety. And in the world, so much, we're taught how to focus in on the things we don't have. We're taught how to focus in on the things that we're struggling with, and we just obsess over them. And if we're not obsessing over them, we're numbing out. And the Lord is saying, here's a weapon in the warfare of anxiety. Rejoice in the Lord. Prayer, supplication, thanksgiving, and give your requests over to God. Friends, the Father is good, and He wants to help you, and He wants to give you no anxiety. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.